So many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go. I will reach the lost unknown. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone hear the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. For my Savior died on that old rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Here am I.
Here am I.
Now, and if the ushers will hand out the sheets here for the fall program, that would be great. Nope, we got the full size sheets. If we'll hand those out for the next 4 weeks, we're going to have a combined fall program along with the missions conference. And so we'll have a good time with that. And it's not always where we're able to focus on missions, but at the same time focus on home missions. And that's what we'll get to do. We'll have that opportunity. And we'll see some volunteer, here am I will go. And we'll have some that will not. But it's our job to go, and it's our job to do. And not everybody's going to be called to go to the mission field. There are some here that are coming for the next 4 weeks. Brother Robbie Leonard, Erica Bowman, Andy Schultz, Brother Stephen Trell, they are the field agents. And it is our job to aid and assist them in their job. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to eternally affect those living across the world. It will not be an easy mission. It can only be accomplished by one of God's people who is willing to take on the responsibility of this grave task. A plot for global domination has been hatched by the most nefarious of organizations, S-I-N, and someone must stop the infiltration of this terrible menace before it runs rampant in our countries. The field agents are ready to begin their missions, and we, the special agents, will be asked to aid and assist them in their divine commission. Each week, you will be provided a tool that may come in handy in completing your mission objectives. So, what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks is we're going to give you some tools where you're able to go out and bring people in and get people in our home missions. Next week, this is the 9th, everybody that comes, every adult or teenage visitor that comes will get an Oberweis gift card. That's not only for that person, but is also for the person that invited them. In 2 weeks, on September 16th, we're going to have a fried chicken lunch in. So normally for the missions conference, we'll have opportunities to get together and to fellowship, and we're not going to have an international banquet that we normally have. So at lunchtime, we're going to have a luncheon, and right after the service, head to the gymnasium, and anybody who signs up who wants to be a part of it can come. We're keeping the cost down. The cost will be $5 for an adult and $3 for children. Going to have fried chicken, sides, desserts, drink, and so you'll have plenty to eat. I promise you, you're not going to find a better deal at any fast food restaurant. But we'll have a good time. It'll be a time where we can fellowship. If you're able to do that, and that's something that you want to be a part of, there's a sign up sheet out in the hallway. Sign up on that with your family name, the number of adults, and the number of kids. That way we can have a ballpark estimate on how many to prepare for. The next week after that is September 23rd. We'll give away gourmet caramel apples. And then on September 30th, everybody that comes, we're going to give them a tumbler with our church logo and name on that. Is just a gift from us to them and something that they can use, you know, throughout the week and see our name and kind of be reminded. But that'll be something that we're going to give away. Again, these prizes are going to be for those first-time visitors, those folks that come, teenagers or adults, and the people that invite them will get those as well. So here are our mission objectives. Our mission objectives is we will be able to complete one objective for each service that you attend. On Sunday night, you'll have a sheet, as we've done in the past, and each service that you've attended, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, in the past week, you'll be able to have an objective for doing that. Hopefully, you'll be able to fill in four of those. Two objectives will be accomplished for every soul-winning time that you attend. Every time that you're able to go out and you're able to go out for a while and knock some doors, then that will be two objectives that you are able to accomplish. And then if you bring a visitor, of course, visitors are always defined, as we always have to do. And so the fine definition there is underneath there. But five objectives accomplished for each visitor. And if you get that visitor to come and come into your Sunday school class, whether that's in your normal meeting place, or if your Sunday school class is in the auditorium for those special weeks where we have a missionary speaking, if you get them to come into your Sunday school class or your meeting place, then you'll get an extra two objectives accomplished for doing that. So that visitor could be worth 7 points if you get them there. And visitors that continue to come throughout the program will still count as visitors like we normally do. So mission rewards. We're going to have an adult winner and a child winner. The winning adult will be able to choose from one of these prizes. You're going to either go to an escape room for four plus money for dinner. You're going to be able to go on one of the exotic car driving experiences. I looked up some, and there are opportunities where you could drive a Lamborghini, you could drive a Ferrari. You do not get those, and I believe that driving experience is for about 1 hour, and that's it. Then you got to give it back, but it's a lot of fun, and you will be able to win that. Or the last one is a Chicago shopping spree. And then for the kids, you have to have at least four visitors in order to win that prize. So you got to average one visitor per week. And by the way, it could be the same visitor that comes every single week, but you got to have at least four visitors. The winning child is going to be able to have a party either at McDonald's or, if they prefer, Chuck E. Cheese's, and they'll have a good time with that. They have to have at least one visitor in order to do that. So we'll have these are on the back table. This is a blank invitation, and instead of doing an invitation for each individual week. Hey, come for the chicken dinner. Hey, come for Oberweis gift card. This is a flyer that says, come and be my visitor this Sunday. When you go there, you're going to have your pen. Take your pen out, and you can say, hey, my name is so-and-so. Write your name on the flyer. That way, when they come to church, they got that flyer. Hey, is so-and-so here? I'm their visitor. And then you can even write on there what the special is for this week. So this week, everybody that comes, every visitor that comes is going to get an Oberweis gift card, and you will get one also for inviting them. I hope you get involved. I hope you come out soul winning, and we're able to see people come to church, see people saved through the program. Let's jump into it as much as we can.
Okay, very good. Thank you, brother. Not make the times on Tuesday or Saturday. There are people who get together with folks at a time that's convenient that works for both. You see Brother Mick, and he'll try to hook you up with somebody that you can go with at a time that works for you. We've got that going on already. So please, and when it comes to passing out tracts, make sure that you go by the office back there and you can pick up the tracts that you need. And what we're looking for, folks, we're not looking for people to bring, you know, grandma and grandpa that go to, you know, somebody else's church and get them in here for something. This is for people who are lost, who are unchurched, or go to a church that doesn't preach the Bible, okay? Glad to have those type people come. And it ought to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Brother Mick, for the work you put into it. And driving a Ferrari for an hour sounds like a great, great thing. Amen. I don't know. Is it really an hour? You get to drive it for an hour?
I don't know that you're driving for an hour's
per week. Oh, okay. All right. Well, is it in Chicago?
All over the place.
All right. Well, good. So, all right. Very good. So that'll be all right. Am I on this thing, Brother Payne? I'm not on. Okay, my bad. So that's great. I hope that you'll get involved and be a part of that. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 tonight. And I wanted Brother Mick to give the information this time around before the message rather than at the end. I don't want it to be an afterthought. I don't want it to be like, let's just tag this on to the end of the service before we go home. Because, folks, I don't know if it's ever sunk in. It hasn't sunk into some. I know it has never sunk into some people. But you're talking about the lifeblood of a New Testament church. That's what you're talking about here. I didn't bring the message. I started to go back 7 years ago, and I preached a message out of Leviticus chapter 17 on the subject, the life of the body. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. What keeps this physical body alive is the blood pumping, circulating through my body. If I lose blood flow to an extremity, I lose that extremity. And blood, new blood, is the life of a New Testament church. It really is. And so all these ministries, and that's what I talked about. If you're not in adult Sunday school, you're going to get a lesson on the subject of our mission, His commission next Sunday morning. And if His commission is not our mission, then it becomes an omission. And it's sad but true that there are so many churches today that are putting more time and effort in good things and not the great things. It's called Great Commission for a purpose, for a reason, lots of reasons, okay? So, I make no apology for this, and I'm just telling you that I hope it dawns on some of you someday that, this is the lifeblood of a church. You either reach people or you die. You reach people or you die. And it's not so much the overall attendance. I think a church gets to a place where, it's not going to, they have to grow to maintain. Just to maintain. And so this is vitally important, and I didn't want to tag it on to the end of the service. I wanted Brother Mick to announce it now. It's a simple program put together because of the way the Missions Conference is set up this year. Instead of a conference, an emphasis, and I just want to talk a little bit about both tonight. Let's stand together, please, in Matthew chapter 20. Please, why don't we read responsively tonight? We've not done that for a while. We're going to read the first 7 verses. You join me on the even verses. Matthew 20. This is Jesus speaking. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. and they went their way. Again, he went out about the night of the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Let's pray. Father, bless the message tonight. Help me, I pray, help our church in these important days. And Lord, there's been so much packed into this summer with all the things going on, from vacation Bible school to camps to school starting. And now we're right here on the doorstep, on the precipice of a missions emphasis time in this church's calendar year, and this emphasis on starting right here at home. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to zero in, begin tonight to work in our hearts. We'll thank you for it. Appreciate your help tonight, dear Lord, as only you can give and be to us. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I want to speak on the subject, no matter the hour, God's in business. No matter the hour, God's in business. Now, a question that is often found among people who are saved centers around the coming of Jesus Christ in the air to snatch away saved people, both those that have passed on already or in the grave and those who remain alive on the earth. And that question is, when? When? How much longer till the trumpet sounds? How much longer till the voice of the archangel that says, Come up hither? How much longer till Jesus comes for His own? And the truth of the matter is, folks, that subject, the coming of Christ, the rapture, used to be a very common theme in messages in Baptist churches. The truth of the matter is, when I got saved back in the 70s, you didn't go 3 or 4 weeks without hearing somebody somewhere say something about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I have to wonder sometimes if majoring on that theme didn't help bring about the great revival that we saw back in the 70s with churches and schools and people being saved and so forth. Now, if I understand the Bible correctly, only God the Father knows the exact moment that He will send His Son for His bride. Now, I'm not sure how all of that works. I'm not sure how the Father knows something the Son doesn't know. I can't wrap my mind around it. But it came from the lips of Jesus Himself. And so He said, no man knoweth, not the Son, nobody else, just the Father, not the angels, not the Son, just the Father. And I can't really wrap my mind around that, but that's what the Lord said. Are we coming to the end of this day? Are we coming to the end of this age? Are we coming to the end of this time? As we know it, in New Testament church, you know, the church age, if you want to call it that, you would certainly think so. There are debates about how the Antichrist comes to power. There are debates about when the rapture takes place. There are debates about from what group of people does the Antichrist come. And you know, tonight, I don't want to refer to any of that. Because that's not my theme tonight. That's not my thought tonight. Tonight, my only thought for us is this. No matter what hour of the day it is, no matter what hour of the day it is, God's still in business. Now, you know that the Jewish day actually began at 6:30, at 6 o'clock in the evening, and ran till 6 o'clock the next evening. It began with the evening and the morning were the first day. So it went on 12 hours, if you will, of nighttime and then 12 hours of daylight. And it doesn't matter if it's 6 a.m. in the daylight or if it's 6 or if it's 5 p.m. in the daylight. No matter what hour of the day, God is still in business. And I'm going to tell you something. I am greatly encouraged by being in some of the churches pastored and some of these works that are being led by these young men that have the touch of God on them and they have a concern for souls and they're reaching people and they're preaching truth and they're seeing people saved. You know, it may not be to the same degree or the same number that we saw back in the 70s, but that doesn't mean that God's not in business. He's still in business. No matter the hour, God is in business. Now, I want you to see in verse number 1, the householder, that's Jesus Christ, went out early in the morning to hire laborers. Okay? He went out early in the morning to hire laborers. Now, that would be 6 a.m. And what he went out to do, as I said, he went out to hire laborers. Now, I want you to see in verse number 3, the Bible says that he went out about the third hour. If the day begins at 6 a.m., that makes the third hour 9 a.m. What did he go out to do at 9 a.m.? Hire laborers. Then the Bible says that he went out the sixth hour. Well, that's noon. What did he go out to do at noon? He went out to hire laborers. Then it says he went out the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What did he go out for at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? He didn't go out to debate what time the day was ending. He didn't go out to have an argument about this or that. He went out to hire laborers. Then the Bible says in verse number 6 that he went out the 11th hour. Now that's 5 p.m. Only 1 hour left in the day. 60 minutes left. And when he went out at that last hour of the day, he went out to hire laborers. So he's hiring laborers. It did not matter whether it was 6 a.m. or 5 p.m. God was in business. And folks, whether we are close to Christ's return in the air, or whether it is still 3 or 6 years away, or 9 or 11 years away, and I don't think any of us know, the bottom line is this: God is still in business. And if this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we've still got 3 hours of time left, God will be in business 3 hours from now. Because whatever time of the day it is, God is in business. Now, let me say a few things tonight about this. Give me 3 thoughts and we'll wrap it up this evening. Number 1, I want you to see that God's business involves a field. God's business involves a field. He set out in verse number 1 here to hire these laborers to send them out into his vineyard. Now people, that vineyard was located on a piece of property. That vineyard was located in a field somewhere. Now, I don't know about if you got to do much traveling, but it is enjoyable to drive through the United States of America and see the different places that God has created and all that's going on in those places. It's enjoyable to drive through Western New York, where Sarah Harrison is from, and see the great vineyards out there. There's acres and acres and acres of great vineyards in Western New York. Then it's enjoyable to drive through South Georgia and see the pecan groves and the peanut fields. If you've never seen that, that's a beautiful thing. And then it's nice to drive up through Michigan and see the apple orchards and the cherry orchards that are up there. It's nice to drive through South Carolina and see the peach orchards. Everybody, you know, Georgia's known as the peach state. You got Peachtree Road, Avenue, Turn, Way, Boulevard, Highway. Everything's Peachtree down in the city of Atlanta. The truth of the matter is the state of South Carolina produces more peaches than Georgia does. And it's beautiful to see the peach groves there in South Carolina, the peach orchards. Or as Joyce and I saw last week, the orange groves down in Florida. And even though they are disappearing because of the disease that's there, there's still acres and acres and acres of orange groves. You get off the main roads, the main state highways, like Highway 27, right through where Pastor Jorge pastors the church there. And you get off on those secondary roads, and you're in the middle. You're surrounded by acres and acres and acres of orange groves. Or drive through the breadbasket of the Midwest and see the thousands of acres of corn and beans. Or drive out to the west in the high desert area and see the acres and acres, endless acres of wheat and oats and sorghum. And you've seen those pictures in the magazines where they have sometimes 5 combines in the same field. The fields are so big. 5 combines going through the same field, harvesting the wheat or the oats. It's beautiful to drive through Alabama and Mississippi and see the cotton fields. It's beautiful to drive through eastern Arkansas and see the acres of rice paddies. You know what I'm talking about? They flood those fields and grow that rice. And it's beautiful to see that. It's beautiful to drive through Northern California's almond groves. Like when we preached, I spoke for Brother Mike Johnson out there in Northern California on the way back to Sacramento. Grove after grove. They call them almonds. That's what the growers out there call them. They said everybody else in the world pronounces it wrong. It's not almonds, it's almonds. And see those almond groves. I'm going to stick with almonds, okay? It's beautiful to drive through California's Central Valley, if you've ever had the opportunity to do that. Over 360 products are grown in California's Central Valley. 360. Fruits and vegetables from that one stretch of land there through the great state of California. Or drive up through Washington State's cherry orchards. And this is just in America. Just in America. And I've had the privilege of being down in Mexico and told you about the pistachio orchards down there. But the truth of the matter is, America is the breadbasket of the world. We know that, okay? Now, all of that is for man's well-being. All of that is to sustain or nourish physical life. And whether it is a vineyard or a grove or an orchard or a paddy, it is in a field. Now, the Bible tells us that in God's eyes, the world is a field. The world is His vineyard. The world is His orchard. The world is His paddy. The world is His grove. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 3, telling the parable of the tares and of the wheat. He explained in that parable in verse number 38, the field is the world. When God looks at this world, He is not impressed by the buildings and the stadiums and the interstate systems and the factories and the industry and the centers of education and the arts and entertainment. When God looks at this world, He sees a field. That's what He sees. God's business involves a field. There's a second thing that God's business involves. You'll see it in this chapter. God's business involves a harvest. God's business involves a harvest. He sent those laborers out in the vineyard to work for the harvest. Okay? A farmer, a grower, a producer, they don't just plant a field. They don't just plant a vineyard, an orchard, or a grove just to have one. They don't plant one just to look at the plants and the trees. He doesn't cultivate the field and prune the orchards and fertilize the plants and keep an eye on it just to have healthy plants and healthy trees. No, He is concerned and interested in the harvest. He's interested in the fruits and the vegetables that will be growing, and soon it will be time to harvest those. I live out there in the middle of the acres of that land out there off of Road 2250, going north off of 102. I have 2.1 acres that I live on, but I'm surrounded by acres of land that the farmers till and plant and grow plants on. And every spring, after the fields are planted, I can be sitting reading my Bible early in the morning, looking out the east window there toward Bourbonnais. I can see the lights of Bourbonnais at night. And I can sit in that recliner and be reading my Bible. And if the windows are open, I can hear the truck coming. And here comes it's the same time almost every day. It's the same truck every day. And it's driving slowly. And I know who's in that truck. It's the farmer who planted the fields around me. He doesn't own the fields, but he rents them. And he'll put on this half, he'll put soybeans, and on this half, he'll put corn. And then he'll swap it over, and he'll put corn over here, and then he'll put soybeans over here. And every once in a while, he puts corn all around us, and it's like a fence around my house. It grows up to be tall corn, and it's like a huge fence all the way around. He's driving down the road. He doesn't live on my road. He lives on 102, past Road 3000. So he drives from his house, comes down to Road 2250, turns left, starts heading north, coming down our road, slows down when he gets close to my house, and the guy south of me there. And he starts looking. What's he doing? He's checking on the fields. He's looking at the plants. He's checking on the growth. He's checking on the development. He's looking for insects. He's watching to see how something this year that I have not seen in years. He had a whole passel of Hispanic men out there walking the bean fields. He used to walk bean fields all the time. Haven't seen that in years. And he's got those men out there with their hoes, and they're cutting those button weeds out and cutting that volunteer corn out of the bean field. And he drives by. Why is he driving? Excuse me. Why is he driving by every morning? Why is he going real slow? Why is he, his trained farmer eyes, looking over the soybeans and looking over the corn? Because he's anticipating a harvest. He's anticipating bushels and bushels of beans and corn. He's anticipating his bins being filled with the harvest. And each one of those bushels is worth so much money, which is not a lot these days. And he's hoping to reimburse all that he spent on seed and fuel and equipment and herbicide and fertilizer and pay all that off and maybe at the end have a little bit of net profit. Just a little bit. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for the harvest. All of that depends on the harvest. That's where His heart is. He's looking on the field to know how does the harvest look. Is the harvest coming in good? And church, I want to remind you tonight that God is interested in His harvest. And His harvest is the eternal souls of people. The eternal souls of people. And churches can get caught up in so many good things that they miss the great thing. They miss it. And if His mission, if His commission is not our mission, it becomes our omission, and we have to stand before Christ having done a bunch of good things and neglecting the great thing. I don't want to do that. I don't want our church to be like that. I don't want that at all. And if you've been around here and you've had any kind of interest whatsoever, you've had your head involved in things going on here, you know we need a new infusion of God's blessing and God's power when it comes to this thing of reaching people. You know we do. Be honest, church. Be honest. Let's take the veneer and the polish off, okay? The church has a good testimony. I'm glad it does. The church has a good reputation, but I want to tell you something. What haunts me is that church in Sardis, was it Sardis or Smyrna in the book of Revelation, where Jesus said, you've got a name that you're alive, but you're dead. You're dead. That haunts me when I read that. I say, oh dear God, help us. I don't want a name, a testimony, a reputation that Faith Baptist Church is alive and yet be dead. And I'm going to tell you something. Reaching people is the lifeblood of this church. And that's God's interest. That's God's heart. When He looks at the world, He sees the world as a field. And when He looks at the field, He's interested in the harvest. There's a harvest that God is interested in. It's the eternal souls of people all around us. It needs to start with me. It needs to trickle down through the staff. It needs to trickle down through all the Sunday school teachers. It needs to trickle down through the bus captains and to every living, breathing soul in this church. That's what God's interest is. It's the harvest. His heart's in the harvest. What's the harvest going to be like? Where's the harvest? That's what God's interested in. God is interested in the harvest. God's business involves a field. God's business involves a harvest. And let me say number three tonight, you probably already see it, God's business involves laborers. It involves laborers. A farmer, an orchard owner, a vineyard owner, all those type people, they need laborers to reap the harvest. Folks, I don't care if it's a single small farmer with only a 50-acre field, or if it's a corporate farm with thousands upon 10,000s of acres, all of those type, I don't care. The harvest is not reaped on its own. There must be laborers in the harvest. And I met a man last week who worked with one of the men at Brother Jorge's church. And he introduced himself. He gave us his car to use while Joyce and I were there, so we could go back and forth from the motel, which was only 5 minutes from the church. But he gave us his car. He had a nice Nissan Rogue or something like that. It's amazing how you start looking. You know, you're in a car that you've never been in, and you start looking around. Everybody's driving one. It's like, wow, this is a popular car, you know? And so we're driving, and so the man that owns it is 65 years old. He worked, I don't know how many years, 25 or 30 years, supervising orange pickers that go to the groves and pick the oranges off the trees. And I don't know how they harvest them. I don't know if they have automatic pickers or what they do, but it sounds like he oversaw a whole group of laborers that went out to the field and picked the oranges off the trees. Why is that? Because the harvest is not reaped on its own. And people, we can stick signs up all over there. We can print up all kinds of signs, stick them in grass, in yards, and all over the place. Please come to church. Please come to church. They're not going to come like that. They're not going to come like that. They've got to be invited. And in this day and age, it takes more than just one simple way. If you really get somebody, everybody ought to have a little bit of a sweetheart list. I've got a very short sweetheart list right now. I visited one of those people on my sweetheart list yesterday. And the response was warmer yesterday than it was the last time I was there. And the last time I was there, the response was warmer than the other time I was there. And if I told you where the man worked, you'd go, oh my goodness. And by the way, people, look,
Salvation, you know, we want this polished person, you know, to come down the aisle looking nice, dressed nice, no tattoos, no jewelry poked in their ears, everything, no color in their hair, and just come in so with no baggage and no habits and sweetly trust Christ and get saved. Like the maniac of Gadara. Like the woman by the well. Amen. You say, well, man, they're really out there. Exactly. That's why they need Christ. They're way out there. They're sticking their bodies full of pins, needles, balls, all kinds of things. They're way out there. They're coloring their hair green, purple, red, orange. They're way out there. Now, I don't suppose any of them are any worse than the maniac. That Jesus Christ got in the boat and went across the northern part of the Sea of Galilee to reach one man, one maniac. And I appreciate so much a lady in the church speaking a word to a lady here this morning that sat in the service. And a little different. I said, okay, what do we got here? I don't know. With all that's going on here, never lifted her head up. Never was distracted, zeroed in on the gospel message from the altar worker and trusted Christ as her. I don't know whether she's saved or not. That's not my business. My business is to present the gospel. I just know on the way home, she asked the bus captain, can I come every Sunday? And I hope she means it. I hope she can grow. Wouldn't it be something to help that young lady who definitely needed some help? We want a sweet little conversion. We want a little, you know, no baggage, no issues, just lost, just slightly lost, to come down the aisle and get slightly saved. I want to tell you something. That wasn't the ministry of Jesus Christ. He went out. He was called the friends of sinners. He was called the friend of sinners. He ate with publicans and sinners. He's interested in the harvest. It requires laborers for the harvest. In God's business, there must be laborers. At the early hour of 6 a.m., laborers were hired. At the 9 a.m. hour, laborers were hired. At the noon hour, laborers were hired. At the 3 in the afternoon hour, laborers were hired. At the 5 p.m. hour, laborers were hired. The need never changed. The laborers are needed to plant, to water, to cultivate, and to reap because the gospel is still productive. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and in chapters 1, verses 5 and 6, he said, the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. I don't care what hour of the day it is, the gospel story is still a powerful story. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the gospel of Christ bears fruit. But the fruit must be harvested. And it requires laborers to reap the harvest. Always has been that way. This is not some new epidemic we're facing. Back in Luke chapter 10, in the days of Jesus. In verse number 2, he said, there the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. But the laborers, our problem today is no laborers. That's the problem today. It was the problem today, last week, last month, last year, 2,000 years ago. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. This is Missions Emphasis Month. It's not a missions conference like we normally have. And so putting it together, Brother Mick and I thought, why not combine the two? Usually we have missions conference, and then we have the fall program. But the truth of the matter is that missions begins right here at home, in this area. We cannot satisfy ourselves with just sending these people to foreign countries, while our area goes to hell in a handbag. We can't do that, folks. That's not right. It begins in this area. So that's why we are combining the fall program and missions in the same month. It begins right here. Our interest has got to be right in this mission field to begin with. And then we lift up our eyes and we send folks across the world. But it begins right in our location. I appreciate Mick giving you the details of the thing tonight. And we really need to work this. You know what needs to happen? You know, I appreciate the fact that this past spring, on a special day, on a Saturday, with a big emphasis. We had almost, was it 80 or 85 people? Might have been more than that show up to go out. But folks, I really long for the day we don't have to have a special push. That it's just what we do. It's just what we do. Because it's right to do. It's obeying God. It's being faithful. And we come out and we spend a little time going out into the area. And it never ceases to produce people. When you put people out on the streets, handing out flyers, handing out tracts, talking to people, God always sends visitors. Always sends people. Always does. Now you tell me, why is it the last thing that a church does that some people want to jump in on? It's the last thing. We have all kinds of special things, and boy, we need people, and away we go. Everybody, but this, the great thing, is the last thing everybody wants to jump into. I understand it, and I have to fight my own flesh with it. And our church's future depends on it. You know, we got families that are new to us that I don't think have been through a missions conference. We used to have missions conference in February, but after 2014, the light came on. Amen. Y'all remember that? Snowed 8 inches on Saturday when the missionaries came in. Then we had all that. And then Sunday night, it went below zero. And Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night was below zero every night. Remember that? Tuesday morning was 19 degrees below zero. And I thought to myself, self, this is really dumb. Have missions conference in February. September's wide open, and we moved it to September. Amen. And there's no snow in September. No below zero weather. But we used to have it. Except we used to have it in February. Now we have it in September. We have families that have not been through missions conference with us. It is an important time. And I'm glad for new families. And I'm glad. Look, folks, I understand that, you know, people are looking for a church that preaches the Bible. People are looking for a church that, you know, has ministries for things that people can be involved. I understand that you get transfers in this day and age, but that's not the sole way to build a church. The way to build a church is to reach a lost people. Reach a lost people. That's why, you know, I really don't want us to invite, you know, cousin so-and-so who goes to the Nazarene church faithfully. You know, I don't know if the Nazarenes are preaching. I don't. Some of them aren't preaching the gospel, that's for sure. But man, there's so many people just totally without God. They really need to hear the message of Christ. We need to go after them. We need some new blood. If we don't do that in time, we won't have a church for people to transfer into. Won't be one. The candlestick will be gone. God's blessing, God's presence, God's power. That takes a hiatus. It's over, folks. It's over. I don't care how fancy the building is. Debt free. I don't care. God leaves. It's over. Put some crepe on the doorknob. It's done. Because it's not the building. And I'm for paying the mortgage off. But it's not that. It's a heart for people. It's getting folks saved. It's passing out tracts. It's doing our part. So please, 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 I beg you. To get it on your mind, get it in your heart. How are you going to get it done? Okay, maybe you can't drive in to the property and be involved in an organized meeting, but you can go where you live and you can take material and you can pass it out throughout the week to people that you come into contact with. You can invite somebody. I can invite somebody and make your little sweetheart list and go back to that person or that family. I told Brother Mick yesterday, he went with me quickly. We went out for a little while yesterday till about 1 o'clock, and this man is on my sweetheart list. And he was, and boy, he was the perfect guy to have with me yesterday, because the guy has a boat, and Brother Mick has something like a boat. Amen. Somebody gave him something, gave him a boat. Well, you can take what people give you. You got something like a boat, okay? And him and this guy started talking. It was beautiful. It was perfect. And my heart just thrilled. And no, he didn't come this morning. But I hit him again yesterday. I know. I got to get there. And that response is 180 degrees opposite what it was when I first started. It takes time. It takes time with people. And then listen, let me encourage you in this way. We've not done this when it comes to missions. We started a missions conference, I think, back in 1993. I think that's right. I might be wrong by 1 year. but I believe it was in 1993. We've never had an emphasis month. We've always had a conference. And I just don't want us to miss the importance of this. What we need, church, we need the same spirit, the same input, the same heart that we have on a Monday through a Sunday through a Wednesday. We need to spread over this month. When these missionaries come in, I'm going to ask you, like I always ask you, sometime in September, give a special, generous love offering, okay? Look, when we have a missions conference on Sunday through Wednesday, we bring these families in and we give them a very generous love offering. All of them get the same amount. Now, what we don't need is people say, well, I like that missionary in week 3 better than I like week 1 missionary, or the missionary in week 4 better than the week 2 missionary. They're all going to get the same amount. Because this is not a personality thing. This is a call of God thing. And if they get the call of God on their life to go to a field, I don't care if their personality is over the top people person or if they got the personality of a fire hydrant. I don't care. We got missionaries on the field that have the personality of a fire hydrant. I'm serious. But they're winning people to Christ. They know the culture. They love the people. Their heart's there. It's not a personality thing. It's not, I like number 4 better than number 1. We need to give an offering for Missions Emphasis Month, a love offering, because we're going to give all these missionaries, going to give Brother Harrison a special love offering. But I'm not taking a love offering for this family, for this family. We're taking love offerings for our Missions Emphasis Month so all these missionaries can go away. They'll go away with $100 gas cards. They'll go away with all those gift cards that you're providing. They'll go away with a wonderful love offering that will help them. And hopefully for the two that are coming in that we don't support, Erica Bowman and Robbie Leonard, we'll be able to take them on for support like we normally do at conference time. You don't have to come out on Monday night. You don't have to come out on Tuesday night. But all day Sunday for the next 4 weeks, it's been on your church calendar. It is the most important time in our church year, without a doubt. It is the most important time. Go by their tables when they're here. Shake their hands. Pick up their prayer cards. Talk to them. Let them know you're glad they've come. The Bible talks about this. I've preached on it over the years, and I may jump on that in one of the Sundays that I'll be preaching some messages in the next month. How that the New Testament churches brought the servants of Christ on their way. They brought them on their way. And that means specifically that church was a financial blessing to that missionary so he could get to the next spot. That's exactly what that means. Exactly what it means. And so let's be good. Let's be kind. Let's be friendly. Let's be interested. Let's do what we always do for Missions Conference. These weeks, every one of us ought to be praying as we would for a Missions Conference. Lord, what is your will for me? Now, let me tell you what it is. It's one of two things. It's either go or give. It's either go or give. Because we have a responsibility. This church has responsibility to take the gospel to the world. And unless we all want to just pack up and one family move over there and one family move over there and one family move over there, then we've got to take advantage of God's call on these people and help them go. Because it's our responsibility. So, Father, what would you have me to do? You want me to go or you want me to give? I'll be going back and resurrecting an old message that I preached here many times 20 years ago called First Century Missions Giving. I'll be preaching that here because without a doubt it's in the Scripture where New Testament churches gave money so that the Apostle Paul could take the gospel to other places. It's biblical. It's biblical. It's not some plan hatched out of Greenville, South Carolina, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Hammond, Indiana, or Springfield, Missouri. It came right from the book. First century. They're sending missionaries. People in churches sending missionaries. It's vitally important. No matter what hour, look, we can argue about all the things that there is to argue about when it comes to the coming of Christ. Argue till we're blue in the face. Argue. Debate. There's one thing you can't deny. No matter what hour it is, God's in business. No matter what hour it is, He is in business. And his business involves a field, it involves a harvest, it involves laborers. May God tell us what we're supposed to do, and may we be obedient in this all-important matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please bless our church in the days moving ahead? Lord, it's such an important time for us, and it's so easy just to approach it. Okay, another missions. Okay, another missions time. God, please burn it deep in our hearts. Help us to see the need, O Lord. Help us to look at the world as a field. God, help us to be willing to be a participant in the great work of the harvest. Lord, help us to carry it on our heart. God, use us. Lord, use me. I've been negligent. I've not been a good example months gone by in this area. I confess that to you. Lord, I'm afraid we've settled into kind of a slump and just accepting it. And God, we don't want to accept it. We want to see the waters of baptism stirred. We want to see the altar move with people being saved. We want to see new family lives changed. Lord, we want to see the person that's way out there reach with the gospel of Christ. Move in our hearts. Move in our church. Lord, protect these people that are coming to be with us. Give them safety as they drive and travel here. And bless them. And may we be a blessing to them, Lord, as they're with us. Send them on their way encouraged as they seek to do your will. Oh God, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you to do a work in our hearts. And may we not shut out the work of the dear Spirit of God that he wants to accomplish in our lives, please, especially over these next 4 weeks. We'll thank you for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I get it. I understand. I got your burden. I sense the urgency. I'd like to be used. I want God to help me in this business of a laborer in the harvest and be used to touch a life for Christ. And I get the urgency of the hour. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting tonight? I join you in that. I join you in that, folks. It's biblical. It's right. It's biblical. You know it is. God help us. God help us. Oh, God help us tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, come right down here and tell Brother Mick, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you need to be baptized, you come and follow the Lord. But let's start tonight in prayer and asking God to help us during these next several weeks as we seek to labor in his harvest. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. Be obedient to God. Don't be in a hurry. Let the Lord know your heart tonight. Tell God what's on your heart. Yes. Just the piano as we close out the invitation, just the piano quietly playing. It's a joy to see the Lord working in the hearts of some, especially young adults right now in our church. It's thrilling to me. Thrilling. Had a young adult just recently on his own, just by himself, because he was burdened about something, go and make a visit in a home. It hurt some on the bus route area. It hurt some, had some difficulties, and spent a little time in one of the adults in the house to Christ. And I asked him a little earlier tonight, said, you know, what's happened?
what's happened to you, man? He said, what do you mean? I said, what's happened? He said, you mean I'm a little different than I was? And I'd say, yeah. I'd say, God's working on you. He said, yep. He said, those Ecclesiastes studies on Wednesday night, getting my priorities in order. It's wonderful to see God working in the life. Wonderful. May God multiply that throughout the membership of this church. Burn in our hearts, do a work of purging and refining and filling and empowering and blessing us to be the testimony. It's timely, folks. This is a timely topic. We need it. And you know we do. I think God has to deal with some things, purge some things, and help us. But we need it. We need it bad, and let's be careful about it in the days to come. Make it a matter of prayer and ask God to bless in this all-important matter. Because whatever hour it is, God is in business. Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness to us. We rejoice in your truth. And Lord, we need to just face facts and be honest once in a while. And Lord, we'll never be helped if we're not honest. So we don't want to continue on, Lord, in a way that we think is okay. We want to be what you want us to be. Lord, we don't want to be like that church in Revelation that had a name that it lived and yet it was dead. Oh, God, please, work in our hearts and our church life, our individual lives, the lives of our families now in these weeks. We'll thank you for it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us in Christ's name and amen.